Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Hausa Life, the show where we show you what Hausa Life is really like for Hausa students living here in the holy city of Qom.
This is my husband, Muzaffar Abbas Haider.
This is my wife, Sayyida Fatima Ali.
And this is our baby.
Zuha Mumtaz Masuma Haider. So guys, before we begin, here's a little disclaimer. We do not represent every Hausa student in Qom.
So we've been hearing from a lot of people that we are representing the Hausa students in a negative way, and all Hausa students' life is not like this, and so many things, you know, this is inappropriate, this Hausa student shouldn't be doing this, going out maybe, or eating.
Yeah, just a quick point there. When I'm making fun out of my in-laws, I don't really feel that way about them. I am just joking. I love
we joke. We're normal like you guys, you know?
Yeah, jokes. But our personality, the way that we interact as a couple, yeah, it's not necessarily a representation of how Hausa students generally behave.
This is just a brief of like, okay, yeah, Hausa students go to class.
There's lots of different types of people out there. We're just showing you guys who we are and what the life decisions that we make.
When I was growing up, I never posted my pictures, and Muzaffar knows that as well. Like, he's like, we were so like, I was like, no, I don't want this. And like, we're doing it for a reason.
Yeah, okay, look, our families know that we've never been part of that culture.
If you're following me on Facebook or Twitter. Like posting pictures every day, I ate this, I'm eating ice cream, I'm at this shop.
Neither of us, before we got married, we were never like that, you know. Here's what we did here, here's what we did here, you know. Oh, here's me with my friends at a picnic, here's a selfie, you know. We, neither of us had that kind of mentality. We never wanted to do that, and people are saying that Hausa Life is becoming a kind of reality TV show.
But we felt the need because people do not know, right? People don't know what Hausa Life is. They just think it's a boring life where literally they think we sit at the haram from morning to night. But you gotta understand that we are living normal life here. I cook, I clean, now I have a baby, now I'm a mom, so I have other responsibilities. And I take care of my husband. There's so many things I do, like what normal people do. And same with Muzaffar. He works, he studies, he does what normal men
do. Okay, after coming to the Hausa, after getting married, we felt that it was absolutely necessary to present this life to the world. Yep. Not because we're show-offs, not because we want to show people how like pious or even like how cool we are. Whatever, that stuff is irrelevant to us. Yeah. The point is that when you become a Hausa student, your entire existence, your life in itself, becomes a resistance against the materialistic lifestyle. That life has to be presented to people so that people out there know that there is an alternative to just studying and then earning.
We started off, I remember Muzaffar, our first episode was like the food here. Then we started with curriculum. So many things we talked about. If we're not going to tell, who's going to tell them?
I mean, let's put our inhibitions aside here, guys. In today's world, Iran has become that
people fortress, are gonna say we're become what is it called, to people who love Iran, oh, you've got to Iran and they're brainwashed, that's why you just keep praising Iran, right?
I don't know what image people have in their heads. Oh, and then there's loads of deviant extremists on either side, so you get the Sunni extremists like the Takfiri Wahhabis coming along and bashing our videos, then you get the Shirazi types coming along and bashing our videos. Look guys, you do realize you don't have to watch these videos, right? You can go somewhere else. You can go and look at some other Muslim YouTubers or Muslims who are out there on the social
modern
media.
Modern Muslims are trying to bring modern fashion, modern Islam. And they're having such a huge influence on young girls.
Right.
Like, I know people who are just influenced by them, inspired by them, like, and want to dress up like them, want to look like them. Like, the whole culture of the turban thing. Mm-hmm. That's what the Muslim, like, some Muslim YouTubers started. Now every woman wants to wear that turban. They're like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. But you need to cover your neck as well. Who said you have to just cover your hair? That's what they're trying to show. And that is one reason where me and Muzaffar thought, no, we got to show the people how we Muslims should be like.
So anyway, there's all this going on. We have a duty to try to represent Shia Islam.
That's what we're just trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so there's loads of different issues, but this was just a very quick disclaimer to let you guys know that we don't represent the views of everybody out there, neither Hausa students nor Shia Muslims.
So basically, we're telling my labor delivery story, okay? Right. And our reason for telling you guys is just for you guys to know how it works in Iran, okay?
So it was around 3 a.m.?
3:30
a.m. I was there reading something, and then I heard a voice from behind me. It was her. And she was saying, Muzaffar, it's time to go to the hospital. So anyway, we get into the taxi and then we get to the hospital.
We took lots of advice and they said to come back only when it gets really bad, otherwise it can be a bit of a pain.
So basically, what time is it? 5:30 a.m. and I'm at the hospital. So basically, we forgot to carry some important documents. We're waiting outside.
10:15. We've just come home and Sayed has collapsed. She's gone to sleep. I'm not sure if I should wake her up. The taxi driver brought us home. We literally just dumped all our stuff right there. All the stuff that we need for the hospital.
Like friends and family, like you really, really underestimate them. When we were going to the hospital, I remember thinking, hold on a moment. Have we done the right thing? Because we're completely alone. When your family is there, you always have some auntie to look after you, or some your mother or her mother, or you know, you have those people there who are going to be there with you. When you do it in Qom, well, in any other country other than your own, you just don't have anyone. So you don't know who to trust. You don't know who to rely on. We had to trust no one but Allah, and Allah really, really helped us.
Okay, so we were, because our house is a little bit far away from the city, so we stayed at a friend's place, Brother Amir's house.
These are my friends from Hausa, and we've just moved to a new house.
I know, so we stayed at their place.
Because we
His wife fed me, and she was there with me all
so
the
much.
Time.
Jazakallah.
Yeah, she did so much for me. Like, she had a 9-month-old baby, and...
Herself. She had a baby herself.
She left her baby, and she's like... I need to be there with you. And her husband takes care of the baby really well. So
we would be staying in their house, and it really is a blur from here on.
Anyway, we're going to go for a walk now because she needs plenty of exercise.
Yeah.
And then, as you can see, they just moved into a new house as well, but they're being really accommodating and helping us because their house is closer to the hospital.
So they told me that I need to walk and walk and walk. So right now, me and Muzaffar have come out for like fast walking. Then in the night, we went to Brother Ali's house.
Oh, yeah. Then we spent that night at Brother
His
Ali's
wife
house,
fed me again.
Yeah. And he was awake for us. I mean, these guys, they still have
They gave
studies,
us our
right?
room They're... and I was sleeping, okay? And...
Even though they have exams, they have their own children, they have their own personal life. They, like,
they
accommodated
said no.
us. They looked after us and everything.
So 10 p.m. in the night.
Like family.
9 a.m. in the morning. We've had, like, 2 hours of sleep. And we're heading back to the hospital now in a friend's car. We're on our way to the hospital now, 31st of March, around 9:39. This is our friend, Brother Ali. He's driving us to the hospital. We're at the hospital now. We're waiting for our friend to come because obviously I can't go inside, so we have to wait for her to come. They've just taken Sayeda through that room and... I just hope all the prayers of everybody who's out there praying for Sayeda. And I know that my mum and dad are on the plane right now, on their way here, and they're praying on the plane. And I know that other people are praying too.
So I'm going into hyperdrive here. I'm just like, well, my wife is up there. I can't go inside. So I'm waiting down there. I don't know what's going on. And everything just starts flooding into my mind. Everything starts going into my mind, like who is with me, who's... And by the way, around about this time is when the very controversial video was released from Islamic Pulse. So we were under a lot of pressure.
We were getting a lot of bashing.
We were getting
everywhere.
Phone calls from this direction, that direction, messages from this direction, that direction. Even from relatives, you know, people saying, you know, why have you done this? Take the video down. Outrage here, outrage there. And we're trying to explain it to everybody. So at a time where we should have been thinking, you know, about the pregnancy, about the baby, we were just absolutely stressed.
Mm-hmm. So when I went to the hospital, like, they saw me and, like, I had high fever, I was puking.
Oh, that was not
There were
good.
Some other things going
this,
on
This, by the
with
way,
me.
At this point, it became really, really stressful.
And
it
with me,
really
Brother Amr's wife, her name is Fatima, she was there with me all the time. She came inside with me and she was there with me. So they admitted me and, you know how...
Oh, and then Brother Muhammad and his wife.
Yeah, Brother Muhammad and his wife. They came
from India. So we have friends from India, friends from Pakistan, and friends from Tanzania. So they all came together to like really look after us, to help us. So at this point, everything starts flooding into my mind, and I was frustrated at the hospital staff. I was frustrated at, you know, everything that's going on. And then I went to pray at the small little prayer room at the hospital. I pray and then I read a special prayer that you read if you're under stress and stuff. So as soon as I get to the second rak'at of that prayer, my phone rings. So when I answer the call, I can hear her friends. So that's Nader Amir's wife and Brother Muhammad's wife. They're like saying, she's born, she's born, she's born. It's a girl, it's a girl. So when I first got to see the baby, I recited Adhan in the right ear, Iqamat in the left ear, and Suratul Duha. And so it was that on the 13th of Rajab, the birthday of Imam Ali, Duha Mumtaz Masuma Haydar was born. On the day that she was born, my parents arrived in Qom.
How do you feel?
Oh, I feel on top of the world and I feel so happy to hold my Mumtaz, little Mumtaz over here in my lap. Alhamdulillah.
How do you feel about Iran and everything and having a baby here?
Iran is lovely, it is just Farsi Balochistan.
It's okay, I hate hospitals. Anywhere in the world, it's just like you want to get home.
How did you find the hospital and everything?
Hospital is really very clean. I'm impressed.
The difference is in London.
Are you satisfied?
No, I'm satisfied. They're doing their best. The only difference is in London, they'll tell you everything, what's going on, what injection the nurse is putting in there, why they've taken the baby away suddenly and everything. Here, they just do it. And you're like, what's happening?
Or they tell you Farsi and you're just like, what?
Oh, yeah. So she was kept in an incubator because she got jaundice.
Right.
Yeah, jaundice. So jaundice is really normal. Lots of babies get it. So they were just making sure that she is fine. Like every morning at 8 a.m., a doctor used to come in and then he or she used to check the baby, like how is she doing, her progress.
They seemed really nice. One thing that you should be prepared for, though, is it's not going to be like you expected it to be.
Like they're not going to be like, oh, dear, how are you doing?
Yeah, back
congratulations.
In the West.
They're not like that.
Also, I think it's a language barrier as well. That can be extremely frustrating, but you have to be patient.
So many couples like Brother Amrit, Brother Muhammad, Brother Ali's, and who else was there?
I think he's a bit shy. He doesn't want his name mentioned. Yeah, but you know who you are.
Brother Mehdi.
Mehdi Bhai.
Yeah, they all. Mehdi Bhai is a part of Islamic Pulse as well.
Yeah.
We came home after a week, and I came home and I felt amazing. I was just waiting to come home.
He's getting changed to go home. This is Dadi Ji changing her.
Discharge. We're going home now.
Yeah. And they've told us to come here to get the baby's vaccinations.
So it's going
to
be her first vaccination. She's going to cry like crazy.
Yeah, so she's sleeping right now, but she needs to get her vaccination. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal
fatah. Salam.
Hello.
You're home now.
MashaAllah.
Yes, okay, fine. I'll tell you one thing. This is number one, the most difficult decision I've had to make in my life, and for you as well. Is that right?
Yeah.
And the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life, and it's probably 10 times harder for her. So.
Well, I trusted in Allah first, and then it was trust in you. He has been such a support. If he wasn't there, right, and obviously Allah, I don't know what to do, because he used to just sleep downstairs on the benches, and I just had I was in peace because I was like, oh, Muzaffar is at the hospital. The hospital is so big, so he was lying down somewhere. But I just knew he was there, so his support, he was arranging everything. He was arranging my food and like ladies to come to stay with me, and he did everything. So honestly, thank you so much.
God bless you, Sayyidah. No, but the truth is, it's our friends. Allah, the friends that Allah has given us, they really looked after us. When my parents came as well, it was such a huge burden off my mind because...
Brother Muhammad went to pick up my in-laws, like all the way to Tehran.
And financially, like, I don't know what we would have done without them.
And Alhamdulillah, honestly, like after I gave birth and now I feel like I'm so thankful to Allah that I gave birth here and we did not give birth anywhere else. I didn't even get that. My mom was lucky. She was born in Kazimin.
Assalamu alaykum ya warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaykum ya warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaykum ya warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaykum.
So guys, I think the message we'd like to leave you guys with is that look, this what we've done is just is nothing.
Stone, this is like the first step for us, I feel like
for,
giving
for us personally in our life. Personally, this is what we felt that we needed to do. But everybody out there, you're going to encounter struggles in your life.
And everyone's struggle is different. Not Allah gives everyone a different way. And
I mean, everybody goes through
and
struggles.
And to be honest,
right?
I don't find this a struggle. What did the ladies go through? You know, what did Bibi Sayyada go through? So many things happened with the ladies. Like Bibi Zainab, she lost her two kids. There is so much what they went through. And what am I going through? I'm just delivering it around.
Our struggles compared to their struggles are nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So, but it's their path that we want to be walking on. But one point there, everybody goes through struggles. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, doesn't matter. Allah is going to
test you
or he's going to put burdens on you. You're going to go through that. But sometimes there is a decision that you need to make which nobody else will understand. But you understand it. You know from your personal experiences and from what Allah has taught you that there is something that you need to do. More difficult than anything else, more difficult than the financial stress, more difficult than the, you know, health and all of those things, more difficult than any of those
is mental stress.
The psychological stress that people can put you through. But despite all the barriers, despite how difficult the task, the mission might be, know this, that Allah will certainly help you. In tansurullah yansurukum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum.
And that's all we got for today.
And just finally, we want to say Instagram. Thank you to our family for all their support. Thank you especially to our friends for all their support. And thank you to all you guys out there who have been praying for us.
Thank you to
God
Allah.
Bless you and jazakallah.
From my husband Muzaffar Abbas Haider.
And from my wife Sayyida Fatima Ali.
And from our baby Duha.
We bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. منم امام رضایی شدم کبوترم هوایی شدم ببین عجب گدایی شدم دعای مادرم بوده که منم امام رضایی شدم پنجره فولاد تو دوای هرچی درده کسی ندیدم اینجا که نامید برگرده پنجره فولاده دوای هرچی درده کسی ندیدم اینجا